This is Rezamir.
This is Tuan Ofan, and this is the Teacher Avenue Pod.
Welcome back to the Teacher Avenue Pod, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. You can find more episodes on Spotify or Apple Music. Email us with any recommendations or questions at teacheravenuepod@gmail.com. Today, we're going to talk about school spirit. What does it mean? What does it look like in 2021? Is it important? Do we need it? So all of that stuff, we're going to break down. And before we get into it, we got a little bit of just update on stuff we've been doing. We got some great recommendations at the end of this. So thank you for tuning in.
This is week seven?
We are deep into it.
Yeah. It's October.
There's no,
there's no breaks. We're in the midst, the heart of it all. So it's still exhausting, but
yeah, I think last week we had an episode on teacher burnout. Mm-hmm. You can always find that episode on Apple Podcasts. I think a few listeners thought that reflected us, like we were burning out. Therefore, we talked about and that's not.
I mean, to a sense, it's the case. Sort of true, I think, right? I mean, a little bit, but not entirely.
I guess a part of us,
yeah,
just a piece of us. We're still trekking through, though. We're powering through. And there's a lot of things about this year that I do miss. I remember missing. One of those is Halloween, the Halloween season. I feel is a fun time, and you know, we try, and teachers try, and admin try to make it as fun as possible. So they've littered our days with many events and different themes, and this week being Spirit Week. Leading up to the homecoming dance on Saturday, we thought it'd be a good time to talk about spirit.
Yeah.
But Halloween means costume shopping.
Yes.
And that's what we attempted to do today.
Costume shopping. I think our experience, both of us agreed that it was a difficult experience today, because a lot of the stores that we used to go to have not really been back in the area. And just, COVID really hit these stores hard last year. I'm assuming a lot of them financially couldn't, you know, maintain their standing for this year. So I remember how my first year teaching and your second year teaching, we went costume shopping, and we got a duo costume, right? I think we did a Rick and Morty, I believe.
Rick and Morty.
And you were Rick. Yeah. That was
the heyday of the Rick and Morty popularity. And we actually won the costume contest.
At lunch.
Did we get runner up?
We came late, so we got the runner up prize. But in my humble opinion, I think we were the best duo costume of that day. So hats off to us.
Definitely was worthy. But that store that we got the Rick and Morty costume, we thought that was still there. Turns out it must have shut down or it's just gone. Spirit Halloween, famous store in LA.
So I don't think they're entirely gone. They're not in our area.
Not entirely gone.
Yeah.
A lot of their stores. But COVID must have closed a few down because of COVID, and I did not realize that until today. So I felt a little sad that place was gone. But we ended up going to Party City.
Yeah, I mean, it's always generic, man. It's just like the same stuff, and like some of the costumes, I feel like just it's not really a costume because you're appropriating other people and their culture, and so it's kind of like yikes. And
yes. And it felt like a barren wasteland. It felt emptier than usual.
You can't even like look at it in person because like everything's in the back because, you know, you can't touch it or try it on because of, you know, obviously the pandemic. So like you can just look at what they have in the inventory, which kind of sucks.
Yeah. So I procured my costume already on Amazon.
Oh, you bought it? Okay.
I bought it and waiting for the arrival, which it hasn't shipped yet, but I hopefully soon. The latest it says it should come is the 26th.
Plenty of time.
So we'll see. And I know this is a podcast, which is not a visual medium. So I'll have to describe, I guess, what it is, but it is...
You know, keep the listeners waiting, man, till at least we'll do a Halloween edition maybe. And then
we'll do a Halloween edition.
Yeah.
And we'll debut costumes.
I still got to like think of mine. I'm still debating. But anyways, back to school spirit. So we have obviously the homecoming dance coming up this weekend. I usually chaperone every year. I've made it kind of a tradition to chaperone the dance every year, and I'm going to try to keep the tradition going. So we've been doing that, Saturday.
You are a trooper. You sir are a trooper.
And usually the home football games, they're fun, right? So I'll try to come go tomorrow as well to support the team, and have a couple of students on the team as well. So it's always nice to see them, and for them to see you kind of there supporting them as well. It's a big thing for teachers, and we'll get to that later in teacher tip of the week. But yeah, I usually do that every year. I do the prom chaperoning and grad night. It's a fun time. So I like doing that. But yeah.
Dances are always fun. I do remember chaperoning one of the dances, and I was blown away and quite surprised at how how nice it was, how great it was, how grand it felt. It felt they really put on a beautiful display of like lights and just table setting, and it felt regal and it felt classy, and it was like it looked like everyone was really having a good time.
And did the twerking ruin it for you, or? Was
I was not in the middle of that, thankfully. I was on the outskirts.
Okay, you weren't in the
I did not sign up for that. Okay. For the listeners out there, there is a position to volunteer for, which is twerk patrol, I believe is the proper terminology.
That's what we call it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And just to paint you a picture. You are in the middle of a large swath of humans, and with a tiny flashlight, waving it about.
Sometimes you don't get the like flashlight, but yeah.
Yes, as a famous James Bond movie villain said, quoted once, he said, "Mr. Bond, you're a kite flying in a hurricane."
Oh my gosh!
And I think that's apt.
Is that accurate?
Apt metaphor. Yeah.
I'm just like, one of my students mentioned to me the other day, like, with COVID, I'm gonna have to be up there and at the dance, like flashing that light in their eyes, like, hey, 6 feet apart, save some room for Jesus or something. so I'll be doing that on Saturday. But
that's amazing.
That's what I'm looking
forward to. So good luck with that. I would like, I think we all need a follow up on next week's episode for sure.
Yeah, I'll definitely give you an update
on how that went down.
Give us an update of how it goes for sure.
So cool. They're doing things a little bit differently though with this dance.
Yeah, it's gonna be, right?
They're doing it outside because of COVID. But there's no more king and queen. They got rid of that those labels. So it's royalty now. Instead of the words king or queen. I thought that's interesting.
Yeah, because I've seen like some high schools, I think it was in the news, like some high schools announced they had like two kings or something, or two queens. Just because, with being more inclusive and more cognizant of the LGBT plus community, like the idea like there shouldn't be just like only one king and one queen, like there could be more than that. But I think that's why schools are going that direction.
Yes. And having yourself labeled as king or queen, I felt something was off about that, even in high school. I thought that could get to somebody's head. No, but I kid. But this year, the rally, which is usually like the day before this dance, usually it's in person, but they're doing it virtually this year. That's interesting. It's like a really long video that teachers are going to show in the classroom. Every day leading up to the dance, we've had all kinds of stuff. Like I mentioned earlier, crazy hair day, my favorite.
Pajama day. Yeah. Of course,
is really one of the perks of the job, and
one day of the year.
And twin day and mismatch day and all these kinds of fun activities during lunch that they did. So I really appreciated that.
Cool. I appreciate the what they're trying to do to kind of foster school spirit. But let's get into the heart of the episode about we talk about school spirit, but what is it exactly? So in many ways, I would say that like school spirit is like really the center or like the heart of a school. And like, I guess another word to say what school spirit is basically school pride, right? Basically having pride in your school and like creating a sense of a belonging among the student and like creating a culture where like everyone who's in that school kind of feels that they are accepted and that they belong there. So it's often like a reflection of the school culture and how that school like serves the students and the population and the adults there as well. But school spirit is also very important because it fosters students' academic performance, which makes sense, right? Because if students feel like they belong and they are, you know, they would tend to do well in that school academically. So I noticed that a strong sense of school spirit also makes not just students, but also staff and just people in that school more invested in that community, makes them happier, motivates them to work harder and also like help each other out. And yeah, that's a little bit about school spirit. And I think that, you know, it's not something that I think can be improved at any school. And it's something that's, I think, can be very positive.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, of course, school spirit does look different to different people. I can only speak on my experience in high school, which was pretty different from college. I'd say school spirit in high school is different in college in many ways because, you know, you don't choose this. You don't often, I don't think ever, get to choose the high school that you go to.
It's part of like where you live, right?
Right. It's part of where you live. You kind of got to go there. And therefore, there can be a little bit of a chip on your shoulder a few times, like, oh, I'm here. So I need to make the best of it. That takes work. That takes work. And it's not like I'm automatically going to buy in. For me as a student, I wasn't like automatically going to buy into school spirit. I wanted to see what the school can offer as a student. So I was a big theater kid, you know, and once I saw like the school play, for example, and it really connected me to want to be there more because I saw like how much work they put into it and how they cared about the show. Cause I loved shows. I loved to see things like that.
Performance aspect. Like,
yeah. And I thought, oh wow, people my age took the time and effort that meant they really cared to put this thing together to show other people. And that to me helped me be connected to my school. So therefore raising my school spirit, you know, it wasn't the games necessarily. I think everyone thinks you got to go to a football game to have school spirit. I don't think necessarily that's the case.
Yeah.
Football is just gets the most attention. And which is fine in itself. And it, you know, it helps the school out financially and everything. And sports has, of course, increases school spirit. So I think the more things you get involved in, the better. For me, it was theater. But college, of course, you get to choose what college you go to.
Right.
So I think school spirit really starts to form an identity in college.
Yeah.
And most people stick to that. That's when you start going to, I went to more games, but they weren't necessarily football. We didn't even have a football team. And this was a Cal State school for my undergrad. And so I went to other different kinds of sports games way more often than I did in high school. You know, I bought the sweaters. I went to the gift shop and you know, you buy the swag.
And the license plate, did you do that?
The license plate. No, I didn't do the license plate.
Okay.
But other things, so, you know, basic things, backpacks, sweaters, tote bags, bottles, sweaters, hats, all that stuff. But also, you know, went to shows really tried to support the performing arts in any way I can. We had a great music program, so I would go to the concerts and things like that. So that's, you know, that's a real way. And I think that's important. So again, school spirit, it looks different. I think everyone can have a different meaning to it. It's just how much do you want to be there? And how connected are you to actual culture of the school?
I think, I agree. It totally looks different for like each person. Like for me going in high school, like I think my school spirit was the idea, like I was a president of like the Asian Culture Club at my school. And I was like, president of the CIF and just other things. I think being involved in clubs for me was my sense of like school spirit. I didn't really, sports wasn't really as big growing up in high school for me, but being part of clubs and like was my kind of way to be involved in the school community. And in college, I agree. What's that?
That's interesting. You said you're president of that club. And yeah, like, that journey from just being a regular student, not being involved in anything, to being president, was that a quick journey that happened?
Well, I mean, I was involved in the clubs before I ran for president. So like I would go to lunch meetings and kind of see like the investment of the club members and like the president and the vice president, like with how much work they put into that club.
Because,
you know, it was inspiring. Like the idea that what you put into it is what you can get out, right? So that's something that stuck with me, and that's kind of why I decided to kind of run for president eventually and kind of run that club. So that was my involvement in high school anyways. But yeah, college, I agree. Same thing, like at the UC where I went to, like, you really got a sense of school spirit and school identity by kind of going to the games. Freshman year, I was probably the most involved. I went to most of the games and events, and dorming, I think, was also a big part, living with people like you. But yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And to tie it back to when I was in high school and being so excited for that play, I'm just so happy and elated that I get to, in some way, share that same, or potentially share that same excitement with some of our students, because we're going to be throwing a play as well. So I'm going to be on the flip side of that, helping with the production. Nice. and hoping, you know, and working hard to make sure the show is good, so that other students come and see what we can do, what we're capable of, mm-hmm. and inspire them. That will open huge waves. And one thing that I was promoting today is something I want to mention here on the podcast. For any listener out there who may be of age to this, this is from Venice Arts. It's an internship, but not an internship. I guess it's not an internship, but it's a workshop, a virtual workshop. It's called Creative Conversations. It comes from the Center for Creative Workforce Equity. It's open for ages, people as young as 16 to 24.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a free 4-level program designed for creative young people interested in pathways to animation, television, film production, editing, post-production, advertising, talent management, and a whole bunch more.
Cool.
There is in-person training, but it's mostly on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And it's every Friday, and you meet with somebody, and it's made to foster really towards low income youth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. This is incredible. Like, the orientation is October 15th, goes until December. And the workshops are crazy. They set people up with like a talent agent from UTA, for example, comes in and has a conversation. Somebody from Sony Animation Studios comes in, and a storyboard artist and a director talk about career pathways, how someone can get into animated feature films.
Mm-hmm.
There's a writer from shows like Friends and Wizards of Waverly Place and other TV shows that come in and talk about students. It's pretty incredible. Aww, so
yeah,
I shared this with my students today. And, you know, again, anyone in the LA area that fits that age, it's a pretty incredible thing. You just go to venicearts.org/FDM.
FDM.
Okay. Or you can, and they can go. Space is limited. So again, if you hear this, that's interesting, definitely hit that up. We could put that in the show notes too, but it's venicearts.org/FDM.
Gotcha, for sure. Cool. And that's Creative Conversations.
Yes.
Awesome. Cool. So in talking about schools, back to, you know, school spirit on this topic, we've been talking about, I think we already kind of mentioned, or like kind of touched on the idea of why it's important, but again, I think we both agree that, you know, school spirit is something that can create a sense of belonging among students and adults. And I think building a relationship as a community is important. But yeah, just kind of taking pride in where you belong. I would say that's one of the reasons I came back to the school that I attended, that why I'm a teacher now at the same school. Because, you know, I feel a sense of pride that, like, oh, I went here and now I'm a teacher here, because, you know, I want to give back to this community and what it's done for me, right? So that, I think for me, that was, I think, a big connection and reason why I came back to teach at this specific school, right? What about you? Any terms of, like, school spirit, like, why do you think is important, or anything that you would say to foster, to build it here?
For me, if I were to talk to, like, first year, second year, third year teachers,
mm-hmm.
is to get involved. Go to something. Go to a game. You know, one game you go to, if your student sees you at that game, it can mm-hmm. completely, it does transform the relationship for the better.
Yeah.
There's no harm in doing it. I can see. It'll only help. And then every time you see the student, you can follow up with him. How'd the game go? How's, you know, you can ask him about his trajectory as an athlete. That's what he cares about. Students, if they're an athlete at that level, they're that's their so much of their life right there.
Yeah, and just showing so up that they his see or her that you game care, is important. Yeah, to like that they you know care. You care. Yeah,
I did to do this my first 2 years. I had a student who was just a track star. This guy was insane. He just blew everyone away on the track, and I would go watch his practices. And even if I would stay for like 10, 15 minutes and watch even a practice, not even an actual
meet, noticed,
that meant
right?
a lot to him.
Yeah.
Oh, he definitely noticed. Yeah, he definitely noticed. And it raised the mood on when we would see each other in the hallway and shake in hands class. Or high five.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. It really goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice they're even more engaged in your classroom. They're more That's inclined the biggest thing, to do what you ask them, or in terms of work, they'll work hard, you know. So get involved. You know, if it's a silly day, a goofy day, be goofy for a day. You can afford to put yourself on the spot, make yourself vulnerable. If they ask you, you know, we had like a mummy day recently where a teacher had to get wrapped like a mummy. You know, do things like that. Why not? Throw yourself out there. And it pays. It really pays off in ways that are uncalculable, you know, in ways you can't even, those are things they don't teach. You know, you'll be a legend. You want to be a legend on your campus, get involved.
Yeah. So really I recommend that for the first or second year teachers out there. It's a way to get student buy-in for sure. Like participating in events like pie throwing contests or just being part of the rallies, you're just, you know, showing your face out there, getting out there so students know who you are, then you're like a presence on campus and that you're a teacher who's, you know, who's willing to, you know, put yourself out there and like you care about the school. And so I think that definitely goes a long way as well. But kind of going back to school spirit, Mary, how do we build or foster it? Like how do we create a sense of school spirit?
Teamwork.
Okay.
Yeah, teamwork involves events, activities that bring members of the school community together. In addition to its positive impact on morale, it's fun. School spirit can be fun. You celebrate success as often as possible, create a sense of togetherness. You can make posters, you can art murals, award ceremonies, special events, team building activities, all that kind of stuff goes a long way. Pep rallies, field trips. Of course, this year with field trips, it's tricky. I'm not sure what's happening with them, but those were some of my fondest memories were the field trips that I would take. That class would not be the same class after that field trip. It was
More bonded.
The students were so much closer and friendlier towards one another after that. We every year before COVID.
Was it the Museum of Tolerance?
Museum of Tolerance, yeah. Right. That was the Museum of Tolerance here in Los Angeles, Holocaust Museum. For those who don't know, it's a phenomenal little museum that it's so powerful, the experience of that. I would take my world history students every year. I don't teach world history anymore, unfortunately, but and I don't know if they even, I don't know what the situation is with tours this year, but
I think it's virtual.
Doing a field trip is, yeah. I would say that was super memorable. Hamilton, when we took all the students to see Hamilton.
Oh, lucky, yeah.
And then the John Leguizamo show that he did, his Netflix special, was also really funny. We took some students for that. Those are always also great team building, world, like just great community building exercises.
For sure.
Dances, of course, like homecoming also we talked about.
I just remembered we used to have the, you know, the staff versus student, like either softball game or like the basketball game. I remember I would participate in some of those. And those are definitely a fun way to kind of build school spirit because it gets, you know, buy-in from the students also, like teachers participating in the games was definitely something that's like, it's another factor that I think students really like. From us, I think that's what we really wanted to talk about in terms of school spirit. You got anything else you want to mention?
No, I mean, again, in high school, I wasn't, I guess, the most involved. I was involved in the things that I liked. So I guess I had school spirit that way. You know, I wasn't the Letterman jacket wearing guy who would be at every single tailgate party. I was much more, you know, bookish or
artsy kid.
I guess I was the artsy kid. So I was definitely. So those are things I gravitate towards. So just getting involved in anything you're interested in your school, that shows spirit, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not cheesy to talk about. If you're in education, you got to be involved in your workplace. You know, you get paid, you can get paid to do silly things and wear pajamas to work. Take advantage of those.
For sure.
Put your foot out there.
Yeah. Make your job fun. Make it a career, right? So be happy that you get to wake up and participate in school spirit and do these activities. I know I do. But with that said, let's go ahead and go into our last segment of the episode, which is our teacher tip of the week and also our rec. So we'll combine it together. I think this episode encapsulates a big, you know, a lot of the teacher tips that we are referring to. But one that we didn't really refer to is, you know, taking mental health days out there. I know that you're taking one soon, Mir. And I think that's great to, you know, take a day to refresh and relax and also recharge so that you can be the best teacher that you can be when you are back in the classroom. I think that's very important. So, yeah, you know, take those health days, mental health days if you really need it. And other than being involved as much as possible, that's really what we have for the teacher tip of the week.
Cool. Yeah. So as you all you teachers out there unwind on the weekend, there's quite a few things to be watching out there. First of all, just want to quick plug season finale of Ted Lasso season 2 coming up Friday on Apple TV Plus. Very excited about that. Insanely excited about that series. Season 2 has been insanely strong, but there's another huge show on Apple TV Plus that nobody is talking about. I'll mention why. And of course it's the Foundation series. This is Apple TV Plus's insanely, hugely expensive, ambitious sci-fi series.
Heard about it, but I've not seen it.
It's based on a series of very prolific science fiction books by author Isaac Asimov. This guy is like the grandfather of sci-fi. He's the original guy. And the first stories came out in 1942. Isaac Asimov's work has influenced everything from Star Wars to Dune to Blade Runner to everything. He also wrote I, Robot, which was a couple of popular movies. That's his story. That's one of the famous stories that he came up with. And so many people have said often that the Foundation series were very, very difficult to adapt because they're basically just vignettes, these short vignettes, and they span like thousands of years across different galaxies, and it's incredibly hard to adapt into anything. So I guess Apple has loosely adapted the books, and they're trying to make it kind of like a Game of Thrones epic, a lot of characters, locations. They're planning on 8 seasons long.
Wow.
And so, you know, there was a lot of
successful so far.
Well, there are a lot of big trailers out and there's so much talk about it, like hype about it. And when it comes out, it comes out in a giant whimper because Squid Game comes out at the same time.
Oh, yes.
And Squid Game completely sucks the oxygen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I was listening to a conversation at the Ringer podcast. They have a great movie podcast, theringer.com. And, you were talking about this, how Squid Game completely came in. It took the entire attention away from Foundation. Mm-hmm. It became a phenomenon, a conversation piece. It became number one in over 90 countries, Squid Game. And nobody was talking about the Foundation. This movie except that you. Apple spent so much. Well, now I'm talking about it. Now I think some people, now that everyone is finished watching Squid Game, they're like, what do I need?
Yeah.
What's my next thing? Maybe now they can start, but it's problematic because, and I'm not that upset that I missed it initially. It's just that it's not great. It's not a home run. It's not Game of Thrones level good yet. I should say yet, because I'm still going to keep going because the visuals are amazing. The budget of course is all over this place. So everything, all the shots and all the backgrounds and stuff look really cool. It's just, I'm not connected with
invested
characters yet. You know, the dialogue, I'd say, is the weakest part of this show is the dialogue. It's not
you
great.
You should be a scriptwriter for them then, Mir. I think you can get some
definitely
pointers.
It's one of those things you just can't touch. Like no matter what, it's it's like adapting the Bible into a movie or something. Like,
okay,
where do you even begin? Like, where do you begin? Like, there's no justifying it. There's no making it, you know, better. But the visuals are outstanding. I'm gonna keep going with it just purely based on that, and the sci-fi, like the story beats and stuff are epic and on a really, really grand and big, ambitious scale. For that, I appreciate it. But it's just clunky. It's
Cool.
clunky.
All
And
right.
but if you're a sci-fi fan, like out there, any listeners who are into hardcore sci-fi stuff, check it out. You know, it's rare to get big, ambitious sci-fi stuff like this these days
Awesome.
anyway.
So it's the
So that's
foundation
the
on Apple
foundation.
TV. Okay.
Yes. One last thing I want to plug, just because in the US history we talked about this time period where Standard Oil existed
I
and
think you might have
mining
mentioned this
oil.
in a previous episode.
Maybe I may have mentioned There Will Be Blood. I show the first 10 minutes of this film. It's a masterpiece. It's in my top 10 movies of all time. It's on Netflix right now. It's with Daniel Day-Lewis. Check it out. It's just so good. It's just one of the greatest American films with one of the greatest performances in the history of film, I think. And
Wow.
that's not all not hyperbole at
So
all.
it's Mir's t it's if it's Mir it's Mir's top 10, and then you've seen, like, I'll say, like, thousands of movies now. It's probably
Yes.
really up there. Okay, got it.
Yeah, there's no order of my top 10. I just know this movie is in there somewhere.
Okay, got it. Cool. Speaking of what movies, one last thing I did see the other day, which is a classic movie in 1993, which I just saw recently, and I'm ashamed that I've not seen it earlier, is Hocus Pocus, right? So it was on Disney Plus, and
Yes.
I saw it for the first time. And I heard that they
Love
were
it.
making a sequel to this.
This is nuts. This is a beloved film. By the way, not like a huge release when it first came out, but when it came out on VHS, it exploded. I remember watching, like owning, watching the tape, the VHS of this, like over and over again. And it's now become like a cult classic.
Yeah,
Like
it's like a
people
Halloween cult
watch,
classic for sure.
yeah, people watch The Big Lebowski every week or every once a year. People watch Hocus Pocus like every Halloween.
Definitely,
But
it's like a
there talks
must-see.
about a sequel. You know, these types of sequels where you try to bring everyone back
It's
many,
always
many years
difficult,
later,
yeah.
they're called Lego sequels. I heard this
Lego
term,
sequels?
Lega sequels, like a
Oh, Lego
legacy
sequels.
sequel.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, Lego sequel, where you're bringing back these legends or these people who haven't been in the film in so
Who are
long,
hopefully still
trying to
alive.
revive it in some way. Yeah, like the Matrix, you know, trying to bring that back. So I am
Hopeful?
not hopeful,
Oh, not hopeful. Okay.
cautiously. I mean, it's exciting, of course. If everyone does come back, it'll be really exciting. It'll probably be silly and fun and then forgettable, just like the Coming to America sequel was on
Or
Amazon
Space Jam 2.
or Space Jam 2. Like any of these movies, I'm telling you, they're like fine once. And then I don't think Hocus Pocus 2 will become like a cult classic in 20
No,
years. Like, I
yeah.
don't,
It's just
you know, I
something
think
about the
people will still
original.
be watching the original ones, you
Yeah,
know.
for
Yeah.
sure.
Well, a lot of
Okay.
exciting things though. There's gonna be so many recs coming up. Just for future podcast listeners, tons of good stuff coming out this month and next month, and
Yeah.
it's back the next 3 months. So there's gonna be a bunch of really cool recs. So look out for that.
Great. All right. So I think that is it, pretty much it from us. Hopefully you picked up something from this episode about school spirit and something from the rec. So with that said, we will see everyone, listeners out there, next week for our next weekly episode. So tune in then. But other than that, we hope you have a good week, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.